101.3 WMCI, Brooks and Dunn, and the long goodbye. Sunny and 70 for a high today. We're at 48 right now at 20 till 9. Let's see if we can get you back on track, back to health with Dr. Charlie Schuster. Hello, my friend. How are you today?
Hi, Bob. Really good. Hey, thanks again for having me on here.
Oh, my pleasure.
I really appreciate the chance to talk to folks about what we do.
Let's start with, what is failed back surgery syndrome, Doc?
Well, it's exactly what it sounds like, Bob. There's such a high incidence, in fact, about a 50% failure rate with initial back surgeries, that they've actually created a name and a diagnosis that goes by the term failed back surgery. So it's exactly what, you know, it sounds like. And for those surgeries that do somewhat succeed, or when people have relief, many of those end up having to be a second surgery, and the chances of success for second surgeries go down to 30%, and if you have to have a third surgery, it's about a 15% success rate, and you don't see a lot of fourth back surgeries, but this failed back surgery syndrome is a real deal.
Now, for those of us that regard you as, you know, one of the smartest, most diligently trained people on the planet, why is there such a high rate when it comes to back surgery?
Well, that's really nice of you, Bob. I think, you know.
Well, you know, I love you, Charlie.
All right. I appreciate that. You give me a little bit too much credit. You know, really, it's not the surgeons necessarily at all. In fact, you know, they're highly skilled and trained. And they're doing their job, and they're, you know, accomplishing what they set out to accomplish in most cases. It's just that we're dealing with living structures here. And I always tell my brother-in-law, who's an engineer, he thinks, you know, if somebody has a curved back, well, you just jack it up and you brace it, you know. And he has slightly more complex theories about how you fix it. But the thing that, you know, I always have to make him understand or help him understand is that there's a living being. So for every action, there's a reaction. And when you're trying to support a living structure and you take some of the material away, whether it's disc or bone, you know, you're always going to weaken the spine, and then you're going to shift the way that the forces go through that area. So when you do that, then you redistribute the problem, oftentimes to the area right next to where the surgery was performed. So it's kind of a premise to begin with, you know, where you're actually accomplishing your goal by making it weaker. And then in cases where, you know, the spine's made too weak, there's something called spinal fusion. That's one that, you know, even a lot of insurance companies won't approve because of the success rate is so low. They really want you to have tried everything else before that. Because when you fuse the spine, you might say, well, great, that's going to create a lot of stability. But the problem is that with that comes stiffness. And with stiffness comes swelling. You know, if you ever sit in a car very long and you get out and you're stiff, can you imagine being like that the rest of your life? Because an area, you know, I would say like that area of your spine's taking a long car ride.
Absolutely. So let's get to options. I've tried physical therapy. I've done chiropractic, other, you know, conservative therapies. They didn't work. What's next?
Well, the next thing is, you know, there's really actually a couple of categories. I mean, there are choices. But, you know, the first would be pain management. And that is just going after symptoms, trying to cover up the pain, you know, the use of cortisone, epidural injections. It can even include, you know, arthritis medications and NSAIDs. They call them non-steroidal anti-inflammatories. And then the next thing would be they can even do what's called an ablation, where they cut the nerves that are causing pain. But all of those, of course, are covering up the pain when the pain's trying to tell you there's a problem. So while it can give relief, it is usually temporary, and, you know, when we don't address the hole in the roof, eventually, you know, it caves in. So that's pain management. And then, you know, then the other one would be spinal surgery. We just talked about it and the success rate that goes along with it. not to mention the disability that often follows. And then a third one, and that's the one we, our hope is that a person is a good candidate, and really most people are good candidates for non-surgical spinal decompression. So that's, you know, just the gentle introduction of negative pressure. And by definition, spinal decompression has to be shown to introduce negative pressure into the disc as opposed to just stretching it, which can actually cause a reflex, that rebound we were talking about. That, you know, when you're dealing with living structures, there's a reaction. People will tighten up after just traction. So, you know, non-surgical spinal decompression is the key when somebody starts to look for, you know, relief that really is just pure physics. You know, introducing negative pressure, bringing the disc back, fluid in, helping the cells retain water, increasing the disc height, and it's addressing the cause. It really is truly the only thing we know right now that addresses the cause.
And we've heard you discuss this, you know, actually in your commercial multiple times. Is this the kind of thing, we're talking to Dr. Charlie Schuster at Back to Health, is this the kind of thing you have to go to your primary and he or she will say, okay, now you can go get this done, or do I call you?
No, I'm actually a primary care physician, state of Illinois, it's just a direct, you know, phone call to the clinic. Of course, we want to communicate with the primary care physician. We're not here to become your primary care physician. But for your spine, that's the goal, and that is that we would, you know, help you avoid surgery and, you know, medications that are just covering up.
Okay. Well, I guess I should have listened to my dad a long time ago when he said, take care of your health.
Yeah. You've done a pretty good job, Bob.
he was right, even though back in the day when you're, and like Charlie Shedd said, when pain talks, you better start listening. And once you get in Club 55, like some of us are, you do pay more attention, don't you?
I'm 1 year away from that, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Closing the gap, Charlie. Well, thank you as always, my friend. If folks need to get in touch with you, social media or just a direct call, what's the best way?
Yeah, you know, our clinic number, 217-345-9600. That's 217-345-9600. Our website is mybacktohealth with the number 2. And you can go on there and reach us really easily. And, you know, we hope to be able to at least see if we can be a part of a solution and instead of just chasing the problem around.
All right, pal. We appreciate your time as always. And sunny and 70, aquatic research on a pond is good for the back, right?
You better believe it.
Call me. Let's go.
Okay. Very good. Hey, thanks again for having me on.
Bye-bye.